the Battlefield Automatic Life Status Monitor. That's what they call it. It watches over heart rate, respiration rate, activity level, and core body temperature, all of it remotely. And that means medical technicians are able to watch over warfighters while they're on the battlefield, just to make sure they're okay. The device is being developed by Kinetic North America's Technology Solutions Group, along with the Air Force Research Laboratory. Dr. Diane Popick is a research audiologist at the Air Force Research Laboratory, and she joined us earlier to explain this device and how it works.
This is comprised of two different sensor units. One is a forehead sensor, and it can be held on by an elastic band or be incorporated into the padding of a helmet. And what that does is picks up the pulse ox and heart rate and respiration rate. And again, it has an accelerometer inside of it, and it can tell movement or body position as well. And the other part, the other sensor, is a capsule that is swallowed, and it measures core body temperature, which is important as well if there's hypothermic conditions or perhaps in other cases where the temperature could be too hot or too cold, in which case the person wouldn't be able to judge their own status at that point. There's a receiver unit as well that's worn on the vest that transmits all this information and records and saves it for later review.
Now, it's not two-way. In other words, someone that's listening in on someone or monitoring them can't say, hey, warm up, buddy, or get moving or something like that.
Well, they could. They could communicate to them through the comm if they see some of their status is changing and they're concerned about the state of this individual. They could talk with them over the radio and say, what's going on? You know, things don't look good. You know, how are you doing? What's the situation? You know, another instance where you could see a few of these different parameters and try to figure out the situation and say, well, we've got an increased elevated heart rate here, but the positioning, it looks as if this person's not moving. In fact, they're face down. Well, that could lead to several things. They're obviously not running and exercising and exerting themselves. Perhaps they're in a situation where they're losing blood volume and their body's trying to compensate for that, so they could be bleeding out. And again, that communication would be important. If the person is non-communicative, that's also another sign that perhaps this person needs help.
Now, we've heard before about devices to monitor health on the battlefield, but this is unique because it's small and lightweight, but it still is rugged enough that it doesn't get destroyed in battlefield conditions.
Well, the technology is different in that we're measuring the pulse ox in a different way. In fact, pulse ox, to measure it remotely is difficult, and having it being measured on the forehead is a different location than in other places. And that is an innovative solution to this. Now, this product this technology is still in prototype form. It's not rugged enough quite yet for the field, but we are working towards it. All the sensor technology is to that stage that we can move forward. It has been a very good proof of concept, but again, we need to ruggedize it and do a little bit more waterproofing with it. We have a rechargeable battery in it so that there aren't any battery exchanges out in the field, that it can just be hooked onto the unit that they're wearing and charge itself. That's also something that's very important out in the field.
And who did this work? I mean, was it purely government researchers, or did you have contractor help? I mean, how did this process work to get this thing invented so far?
This process, it's interesting how it came into the lab, is that it was congressional ad money that came in to fulfill a need of remote physiological monitoring capability that was initiated for the Battlefield Airmen Toolkit. And what we've done with this is that initially it was meant to be part of a communication system and inserted in an earplug. All of the sensors are supposed to read the data through an earplug, which the technology is really not at that point to have it so miniaturized. So we changed it a little bit to have it more incorporated with the other equipment that a battlefield airman would wear. And again, we used innovative technology because there are other physiological monitors out there, and they measure similar stats, but just in different ways. And we wanted to have something completely different and something that was more challenging. Again, the core body temperature is also unique in that it's different than skin temperature, and it's different information, and skin body temperature can be misleading, and they can also be a few degrees off from each other. So again, we wanted to really go out there on a limb and try something new and innovative. And I feel like we've accomplished that. Again, this is a prototype and we'd like to move forward with it. It needs a little bit more work to be refined specifically for the user, but I think it's very promising at this point.
We're talking with Dr. Diane Popek. She's a research audiologist with Battlespace Acoustics branch of the 7-Eleven Human Performance Wing at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And we're talking about the Battlefield Automatic Life Status Monitor. So, moving forward, what's the timeline? When would you like to see this deployed?
Well, I think it has another year or two before it would be fieldable. Again, it's a matter of having it specifically tailored to the customer, and again, that's a more of a funding issue. It's definitely a requirement. It needs to have a little bit more, like I said, ruggedization to it, but I would love to see it out in the field in the next 18 months would be great.
Is there a process by which the military has to accept it?
There is. It would need to have a little bit more, like I said, refinement, and it would have a little bit more medical testing to verify the sensor accuracy, which I'm not at all concerned about. Again, it would need to go through the acquisition process.
I'm thinking that if this does make it through the acquisitions process and all is well and it goes into standard use, that this is actually something that others could use too. You know, I'm thinking firemen, I'm thinking rescue personnel, you know, civilian first responder types.
Exactly. And it has been tested on firefighters as well. In Massachusetts, I know there's been studies where they've used these in the field. And I think that it could be used for many, many different reasons, not just for first responders, but in field situations or triaging situations where you could put this headband on a patient. If you have several patients you're monitoring and there's only one healthcare worker and you need to triage to see who's going to be evacuated first, and if there's a status change among these patients, you'll be alerted immediately as to who's, you know, most emergent at that time. And I think that it really can be adapted for many different reasons. And I hope it moves forward. I think it's a great technology, and I think a lot of different groups would really be able to utilize this. I'm pleased with it. I'm very pleased with how this program is run.
And it seems like this could really save lives. Would it be able to track somebody who might be a fallen military personnel out in the field? Can you find them using this technology too, or is this mainly so you can see how they're doing?
This version of it, we decided to not have a locator in it because these battlefield airmen have other GPS locators on them as well, but it could easily be inserted in that if for some reason this individual wasn't wearing other locators.
Dr. Diane Popek is a research audiologist at the Air Force Research Laboratory Battlespace Acoustics Branch at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Learn more and hear the entire interview on federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.